viewing and compiling charts, public affairs, interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures, public relations, posting,
speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, October 16th. My name is Magnus Tiewald. I'm happy to be your host here this morning. Thanks for joining us. My colleague Ayu is going to be joining me a little later in the program, and we have some interesting content for you today about the TSSU strike, and also a series of talks offered by the city of Coquitlam on race, as well as some great music and some of our other regular features. The big news here at SFU this week, as it has been pretty much since the beginning of the semester, and especially over the last 3 weeks, is the ongoing job action of the TSSU, or the Teaching Support Staff Union here at SFU. They have been on full strike for the last 3 weeks, and that continues today. And if you don't know, the TSSU represents much of the actual teaching staff here at Simon Fraser University. You may not realize it, but you know, full professors represent only a portion of the teaching component at SFU. The TSSU represents many of the rest of those who are grad students or teaching assistants who lead all the lab sessions and do a lot of the marking for courses here at SFU. They also represent sessional instructors who are generally fully qualified PhDs, but they don't have a regular permanent position as part of the faculty at SFU. That's why they're called sessional instructors, and because they basically work on a contract basis semester to semester, picking up one or two or whatever number of courses. And they are also represented by the TSSU. Sessional instructors are a feature of universities that have really grown a lot in the last 20 or 25 years, mostly because universities, and SFU as well, are able to pay these instructors a lot less than they would need to pay full professors. And so it becomes an increasing part of the university, and it's one of the issues in the TSSU's job demands, contract demands, to have that pay issue addressed. The other issue for big issue for the TSSU is the compensation for teaching assistants. These are grad students who support the teaching at SFU as part of, and in addition to, their own studies, getting their master's or doctorates here at SFU. You know, they're doing their own coursework and research and thesis writing, and then as part of that component, and one of the ways they're able to support themselves through school is through these teaching assistants. And one of the big issues is that the pay for teaching assistants hasn't really kept up with inflation, particularly here in Vancouver, and you know, the big rise in housing prices. And it's sort of based on a sort of fixed block compensation model, which doesn't always properly represent the amount of work that teaching assistants have been doing. So those are sort of the issues. There's you know, a lot more detail in that, and we've talked about that a couple times before with representatives from the TSSU. But the job action continues today. On Friday, there was a according to the TSSU, and I'll just talk a bit about what they had to say about that. And let me get there. So what they're saying on Friday, the employers, that's SFU, bargaining team, made a commitment that they would provide a full response to our key monetary proposals with supporting costing data at Sunday's mediation session. Given that they have refused to provide a full response and virtually any costing data for 345 days, this is another indication that the sustained pressure from our picketing is working. So one of the things that... took place on Friday was that so that's happening, and then the TSS was also saying that well, I won't get into that because I think it perhaps its own news. What was happening over the weekend was that the TSSU and SFU engaged in mediation. Up until this point, they've been sort of meeting face to face and not really making a lot of progress. The TSSU is, in particular, has been pretty unhappy with how bargaining has been going. SFU has had less to say through their public statements, other than you know, to some of the things they've been saying all along, that they've offered as much as they are legally allowed to offer, according to according to the university. The TSSU disputes that, so they went into mediation on the weekend with a third-party mediator, and I was hoping to be able to talk to a rep from the TSSU on the show today to find out how that went, but with everything going on, they weren't available this morning. We hope to have them in this week, but the pickets are out in full force on the Burnaby campus, and the plan is to have them up all week here at SFU Burnaby, Monday through Friday, barring any change in the situation based on negotiations and mediation. They'll also be rotating pickets at other campuses. You can check the TSSU website for more information about that, or the SFU website. And so that's what's happening. Last week, our reporter Caroline went out to talk to students and to visit some of the picket lines here on campus to find out more about what students are thinking. And this is Caroline's report.
These sounds might be familiar to you, as TSSU members have been on strike on Burnaby campus since September 28th. All the teaching work done by TSSU members are struck on all campuses since then. That includes tutorials, labs, and lectures. The teaching work stoppage will continue until TSSU members get a tentative agreement with SFU that addresses their needs. On Tuesday, October 10th, I spoke to a few of the students on Burnaby campus and wanted to get their take on the situation. The first question I asked them was, what do you know about the strike?
I don't know a lot. I know that the TSSU is on strike because they want better pay and better benefits. And the university and the TSSU currently don't agree, but that's mm-hmm. about it.
But the TSSU is striking for more money and more benefits?
Mm-hmm. I know that the TAs aren't being paid enough at all for the amount of work they're putting in, and the fact that they all mostly have a degree and they're getting paid like dirt, so it's very valid of them, and that's about all I know.
I just know that the teachers, the TAs are not getting paid well enough, or the benefits and things about their job is not good enough, mm-hmm. and that's all I know.
Well, I know that the TSSU are on strike and they've done a full work stoppage because, well, there are a few reasons. They say they're not getting paid enough, and they're also making other demands that the university is not willing to meet. basically. That's all I know.
The TAs are underpaid, and their benefits aren't equivalent to the amount of work they're asked for by profs or the whole school by itself.
The TAs, once they ask something, they probably deserve a better payment or something, and they strike to get an agreement with the SFU.
I then ask them about how they've been affected by the strike.
All my tutorials have been canceled, mm-hmm. and some of my classes have also been canceled because my teachers are worried about crossing the picket line.
A lot of my classes and tutorials are canceled, and my midterms.
It's pretty annoying because I don't have any TAs that I can ask for help, and a lot of stuff is getting canceled, and stuff's just getting moved around. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's they have to do what they have to do, you know, they gotta take care of their stuff, so they're valid for that. Other than that, I don't know, it's chill.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know, I haven't felt affected by it that much, but the only problem is about the midterms are getting our things marked. We can't get it back on time for us to get better answers and know what we did wrong, so we can, yeah.
Well, a lot of my classes have been canceled. Out of the five that I have, four I don't have this week, which has led many of my days just being completely off. None of my work is being returned or marked or submitted. Well, it's being submitted, but they're not marking it, mm-hmm. which definitely, it's really impacting my ability to learn because I can't get feedback. I don't know how well I'm doing in any of my courses.
I guess it's been affecting me a lot since I submit my work and assignments, and especially right now, I'm supposed to have a lab today, mm-hmm. but my TAs aren't here to lead the labs, and now the professor asks us to do it on our own time and then to finish the work so when the TAs are back from the strike is done, mm-hmm. the TAs will be back and mark the lab we've done. And I think it's just much of a hassle since there's no structure or actual schedule to actually finish my work. He's just asking us to do it on our own time. Okay. Whereas if there was TAs, we could ask for help during the labs and actually have someone lead us. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's more so just having the quality of work is less for students because there's no help that the help that we're supposed to have isn't there.
Okay.
So most definitely just the quality of my assignments and everything just goes down.
I don't have lab tutorials, and also I'm not getting any of the homeworks and tests back.
There's in the way that all the tutorials canceled, mm-hmm. and we don't have access to our TAs.
Lastly, I wanted to know if they support the strike.
Yes. Okay. I'm not super, what's the word? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know enough about it, but yeah, I support the...
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with them. They need, they shouldn't be getting paid that much. That's, messed up. But at the same time, don't be getting in my face about it. If you do some stupid to me and get in my way, I'm doing it back to you. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. But go you, you know?
Well, I think they're doing it for a good cause. I agree that they're not getting paid enough, but at the same time, it does have a negative impact, and we do feel it.
I can't, honestly, I'd understand considering most of them are probably graduates of each program, because my program right now is quite difficult, and I imagine if I graduate and I'm being treated like them, I'd probably react the same way. So I guess I'd support,
mm-hmm.
but it's really hard to just support considering I'm getting caught in the middle of I'm in the crossfire of both sides. So, but at the end of the day, I'll probably say I'd support, considering it's probably going to end soon, I hope, and I'm hoping SFU takes action for the better for them.
So what I took away from the interviews is that students definitely have a deep understanding for the strike and generally support it. Most of them are very aware of the TA situations. At the same time, I feel like they're getting quite frustrated because their work is so heavily affected by it. They're not getting marked, they cannot reach out for assistance or support. They're basically just waiting for that agreement between TSSU and SFU so that they can finally go back to their normal schedule. I also want to share a short interview with Kayla. She's part of the bargaining and strike committee. I met her close to the bus loop where she and some other people cooked for the people in the picket lines.
My name is Kayla Hillstop. I'm on the bargaining committee. I'm also on the strike committee, and I'm a sessional instructor. So I decided to get involved with the strike because I've seen for years inflation go up and wages not match that, right? And so we're here to make sure we get a deal that stops all wage theft coming out of our pockets. We see money coming out of our pockets in so many different ways through loopholes the university has. It's time we close them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other reasons, but that's one of the big ones.
And today you're here and cooking for all the people in line.
Yeah, we're making 10 pots of lentil soup to make sure everybody has something to eat and stays warm. We're out here for the long haul. We've been out here for a week now. We could be another week, but we're ready to fight and be out here as long as it takes. So we're here to take care of each other and keep the lines going.
Awesome. Great.
And that was Carolyn Sawin, our intern here at CJSF, out talking to students and TSSU members on the picket line here at SFU. That was recorded last week. Pickets are up again this today and are scheduled to be up all week, barring any sort of change in the negotiating situation between the TSSU, which is the Teaching Support Staff Union, and SFU. Ayu has joined me in the studio here, and hello to you.
Hello.
Ayu is going to be doing a feature in about 10 or 12 minutes on an artist. You want to tell us just very briefly about that?
Okay, so today I will introduce some Japanese music band called Kobukuro, and yeah, I also introduce some their songs.
Excellent. So that's coming up at about approximately 10:30 in about 12 or so minutes. Before then, we have an interview about a new program running this month, put on by the City of Coquitlam and the Coquitlam Public Library. You may have heard in the news last month about posters that went up advertising a whites-only mom and tots group that went, the posters appeared on poles and bulletin boards and other public spaces throughout Coquitlam and Port Coquitlam, and garnered international attention. None of those, I don't think anybody tracked down exactly who was responsible for those posters. They certainly weren't through any official established agencies through the City of Coquitlam or Port Coquitlam or any of the other surrounding municipalities. But the community is reacting, and the Coquitlam Public Library is putting on a series called Conversation on Race. It started last week. Every Wednesday at 6:30 at the City Center branch. So that'll be this Wednesday, which is October 18th, and running each Wednesday through to November 8th. So there's 4 weeks coming up still, and discussion topics will include immigrants coming up this Wednesday, anti-Semitism the following Wednesday, which would be the 25th. And, you know, in light of recent events in the Middle East and Israel and Gaza, that should be a very interesting discussion. But hopefully it will stay on topic and not be sort of pulled off base by people who feel very passionate on both sides about what's going on in the Middle East. And, of course, I don't know if it's most of the rest of us, but many of us who just sort of look on the events there with sort of a sense of despair at the loss of life and that anything will ever change. It seems that conflict just goes on and on. Anyway, the next week, which should be just early November, November 1st, Islamophobia, and then finally one on allyship to finish the series on November 8th. You can find more information from the Burnaby Coquitlam Public Library website. And my colleague Jesse spoke to the public library last week about their series. And let me bring that to you now.
I'm Sam Wink. I'm the manager of marketing and communications at the Coquitlam Public Library. And I'm here to talk a little bit more about our upcoming speaker series, Conversations on Race in BC, that will be taking part starting October 11th.
Great. Thanks for joining me, Sam. To begin with, do you want to just give us a quick elevator pitch of what is the Conversations on Race in BC series?
Yeah, absolutely. So every year, Coquitlam Public Library chooses a different topic for what's called our special speaker series. This year, we decided, based on things that were happening in the news in our community and around BC, conversations on race was an important topic for us. So from there, our programming and outreach team put together a slot of five separate topics, starting on October 11th and running every Wednesday until November 7th, covering Indigenous culture, the immigrant experience, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and culminating in a workshop that gives you a toolkit to be a better ally to your community.
Can you walk us through how you chose those topics in particular, that process of building out the program, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it happened of just having our staff attend other talks in the community, seeing a speaker, for instance, Christine McKenzie, who's a First Nations artist and facilitator from the Coquitlam Nation. So we saw her speak at a different event and just thought she was brilliant, asked her to come. She was grateful and then started building from there. So from there, we had contacts with the Tri-Cities Local Partnerships Immigrant Advisory Table. And we asked if they'd come in and we just built from there. For Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, they've been in the news a lot. So we reached out to two organizations to speak from there. And then we looked for someone that might give a toolkit. I think conversations are great. These are fantastic conversations where you get to see a snapshot of some of these issues and then be able to speak to an expert in them at the end of it. But having that final piece on allyship gives people something to take home and really enact out in the community rather than just sitting with the knowledge themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I know here at CJSF and a lot of organizations over the last couple of years have really tried to put a focus on anti-oppression and decolonization and doing work that both informs our membership and our audiences about the topics, but also, as you said, gives them a toolkit. Because that's, in our experience, that's the big step that has to happen. You can go and you can learn, but then how do we put it into action is a big question.
Yeah, and they're kind of really tricky topics to deal with. You might be coming from a place where you're a little more familiar of it, or you might be coming from a place where it just hasn't impacted your life before and you're finding it's almost scary to engage with these topics because you're scared you're going to say the wrong thing and you're going to accidentally alienate someone or make a situation worse. In particular, this can happen if you have family members who have been online and they have some different ideas of how the world works and you still love them as a person and you want to come with them empathetically and with understanding and try and, move the conversation along rather than have it shut down and become this dichotomy of visions. So for us, as libraries and libraries across BC are well known for this, we're a great place to learn about something that's a safe environment. It's not judgmental. And taking it extra and having that piece of we understand you're going to run into these issues, or maybe you won't, but it's still good to have a toolkit that just helps you connect better with the community.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, and I wanted to ask you about the role of the library itself in this, right? In being a place of learning, being a place where people can come and engage with community and engage on these important issues. Was that, as a library, did that really seem like a really important thing to do?
Absolutely. And what you're seeing across North America, really, but I know specifically locally when I speak to other libraries that are part of BC, is the past couple of years has had this massive emphasis on fake news. And who better to combat things like fake news or news that is biased in some ways than a library? We're peer reviewed. We have all the books you need. We have staff that are understanding, helpful, and able to help you find things you might want to leave. And we're in a position that we do have a lot of public trust, and we don't want to endanger that in any way. So we're putting together these programs from a completely neutral, completely educational kind of a come to the water rather than waterboard someone with information.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, the library being able to present this, as you said, sort of from an objective point, but really from a, there's no,
libraries aren't super politicized, right? I mean, there are some people who try to politicize just knowledge in general, but I think it's really, really important to come from that sort of community knowledge-based resource that here's some information on these topics that you're going to be hearing about in your day-to-day one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the nice thing is you're already in a library, so if you have a question on one side of a topic or another side, you have a professional who's instantly able to get you reference materials to help you out.
Yeah. And I think I know that that's something for us. You know, we do a weekly session where we go through one anti-oppression resource or another here at the station. And one of the things that has really taught me is that it can be very useful to have sort of an expert on hand to be able to ask these questions too, because they're big topics. And for a lot of us, you know, we might have encountered them, you know, in the news, or they might have been covered to some extent in our education, but a lot of it is new information to a lot of people.
Yeah, there's definitely been a larger appetite for it in the future, which is great. And to your point of you might uncover it in the news because you yourself aren't speaking to it, that's still quite an academic take on it in that there's not emotion involved. So being able to get in the room with someone who's had this experience and hear their story and hear how they've dealt with issues that have arisen, how they've either overcome them or things they've experienced, having that human connection is always going to be that much more useful than just hearing something in the news or through a friend of a friend, because you're getting something that's very real.
Yeah, and really great to be able to combine that real emotional connection with a person with these experiences telling you them, and then being able to go, as you said, talk to an expert at the library or go find a primary source or secondary source there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We put things like this all the time, and just to the point that all libraries are trying to put things that they believe the community would be interested in and keeping it intellectuals. We'd love to get more people into programs. And I know that the Coquitlam Public Library isn't the only library that's putting on programs that have the workshop and the toolkit component to it. So if you can't make it out to ours, which I really hope that you do one of these Wednesdays, just look in on your local library. We're a great resource. We are unbiased. We're not politicized, and there's always someone there to help you. So I really would encourage anyone listening, or if this ends up being a video clip and you're watching, to go and support your local library, because, you know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's a series, and I don't want to make you pick favorites, but is there anything you're particularly excited about or interested in the conversation series?
Well, I'll be attending every single one, but I am really actually excited with positioning of that allyship piece at the end, because I'm always interested on how I can grow my own toolkit, things like advances in language or even just blind spots that I have as just a white woman are very important. Like, I can't come from that from an unbiased standpoint, but being able to hear that different viewpoint and be like, hey, when you say things like this or when you approach it like this, you're actually taking space away from people who are marginalized. So for me, I'm most excited about that piece to learn more about how to have little pieces of diversity, equity, and inclusion in my daily life.
Yeah, always eager to be able to do some work and to take some steps to make change. So all of the speaker series, they're all at the main branch of the public library?
Yeah, that's right. They're at our city center branch, which is right next to the SkyTrain station at the Coquitlam Mall. They are registration only, and that's just so that we can ensure that there's enough space and it's flu season, so we want to make sure there's proper ventilation, but they are free to attend. So it's every Wednesday at 6:30, and it's about an hour, a bit longer. I think last time I took the SkyTrain from there, it's about 40, 45 minutes from downtown Vancouver.
Super easy.
Yeah, pretty easy, straight shot. You can read a book on your way. You can stop at your other local branch, grab a book, and then bring it to our library. That's fair.
Right. And where can people sign up and or find more information?
Absolutely. You can sign up on our website, which is coquelibrary.ca. That's coquelibrary.ca. And it's on the main page. Or you can also just search for Conversations on Race.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Is there anything else you want people to know about this series or the Coquitlam Library in general?
Well, Coquitlam Library is always putting things on like this. We hope that you start attending some series like this. But like I said, look to your local libraries. They're putting on interesting things all the time, and they'd love to have you.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
And Conversations on Race is happening at the Coquitlam Public Library every Wednesday from now until November 8th. with immigrants, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and allyship. Still coming up, check out the Coquitlam Public Library website.